I've had a few kitchen nightmare episodes in Bahrain where
there are also instances where new brands come within 1 or 2 years, they vanish.
I was approached by a car product company and they wanted to reach out for an advertisement. They liked my stuff. I didn't know how to tell them, listen, I don't think we can do it.
I will not let you jump this
time. No. Said one of the things I don't really show on social media is what I drive.
You'll get views.
Trust me, been there, done that, and I don't want to do that again. So I used to own a Tesla, long story short.
Yes. I've seen it.
I went to this one restaurant. I said, you know, the burger's actually good. What if you bend the rules and do it like that? Show the inner, show the outer, and a bit of both as well.
Yeah. Guys, restaurants. If you have him and if you're just using him for video, you're missing out. Pick his brain, subhanAllah. Shit. Or just watch this podcast. Then you will know. You know, you have two brains, right? One for food and one for... Are you reading my iPad?
No.
Stop reading my iPad, okay? Your favorite Indian dish. Wait. You cannot mention biryani. You cannot mention butter chicken. What if I told you we have the most favorite Instagrammer of Bahrain and one among the... most well-known families in Bahrain. Not only that, he is passionate food vlogger. He is building his own voice, plate by plate. But you know, here's what's interesting. He promised me to give something that you guys don't know. Or probably you might know, but not in depth. And that's world's exclusive, guys. So if you want to see that, you have to please watch the video until the end. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe. And if you don't want to watch the whole length video, you can go, we have scrollable chapters, so you can jump into any topics anytime. So welcome to World's Local Podcast, Mr. Nasir Kanu.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Honor to have you here. Thank you so much for accepting.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor, honestly, because this is my first podcast.
Yeah.
So,
woo!
Yeah.
So we, alhamdulillah, I'm so blessed. Like you're the third or fourth person who said that.
Thank you.
You know, I like your reflections, yeah, which you put on stories, like for so long, the dark background with the lights.
Yeah.
Then we understand, okay, you know, this guy wants to say something serious it would be at least 3-4 stories.
Yes.
Then I watch. It's nice.
Thank you.
Actually, that could have been converted to reel. Why you never posted that as a reel?
I mean, I do on TikTok sometimes, not always. I think I like to keep my Instagram one sort of content, let's call it.
Okay.
So the food reviews that I do, the travel, concerts, etc. On TikTok, I like to focus more on the things that you could say have no filter.
Okay.
The things that I wouldn't necessarily put up on Instagram, because maybe on Instagram I'm trying to be a bit more professional.
Mm.
But on TikTok, the platform, I feel
you can
that,
talk.
Yeah, you can express.
You can talk.
Yourself,
yeah.
You can just give it your all. So sometimes I'm like, you know what? Put this on TikTok, why not? So
I think, yeah, this is what TikTok is about.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't, it actually, I understood this, because when I post something that's Instagrammable, it necessarily doesn't work in TikTok.
Yeah. Some things, not always, but you're right. Some things will do very good on Instagram, but then some things might not do
it
well
doesn't
on TikTok,
yeah,
and vice versa as well.
I think so. Over edited videos, over polished videos doesn't work on TikTok. This is what I've seen.
The more natural you are, I'd say it's the better, to be honest. Yeah. Yeah, this is a picture.
We have too many surprises, guys. Oh, mashallah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I was a bit overweight. And there was a time in my life where I sort of woke up and then I told myself, Nasir, like, you cannot accept this. Like, you need to change something about this. You need to do something about this. So I told myself, okay, every day I'm going to eat healthy. And that was how my daily routine began. And slowly, I noticed this sort of dip and I lost about 25 kg. It was a dip and then it sort of slowly went down until I was...
What's the time frame?
You could say within like 5 to 8 months. So
mashallah.
I'll show you this other picture as well.
5 to 8 months is, I think it's a good progress.
In addition to that, this is where the foodie aspect comes in. Around, let's say, end of March, beginning of April, I was sort of like everyone else. When you're at a nice restaurant or when you're at a location, a landmark, you typically would take a picture, right? So when I was at a restaurant, I would take a picture of the restaurant. And for example, I'm going to mention...
Can I stop you there?
Yes.
So contradicting.
Yeah.
Like you said, You were having dodo food.
Yes.
Okay. And then you went down, you became thin. Now you're saying, I want to be a foodie and a vlogger. Now explain.
I will explain. Yeah. So basically, as I mentioned, the first dip was within 1 month. That was a scary jump. That was me.
That's mad. Yeah.
85 or 70. No, 90 to like 75 or 70. That was a very big dip. And then slowly it went downhill. But 70 is a good, I'm around that weight right now. I think that's a good weight for my height and age right now. Or at my time as well. Mm. That was a good weight. So around that time, I was a bit more lenient. But yes, towards the beginning, I was definitely nonstop. Going back to the story, let's say a restaurant like Mbai Marai, if you just take a picture of the art piece, right? The iconic art piece that everyone knows. When you see that picture, you associate that you're at the restaurant. Mm. Now, this is what I used to do with other restaurants. And I would get replies here and there. This is on my private account. So I don't really use it now. I mainly focus on my public account. But
okay,
for my friends and family account, I get replies where people were asking me, how much should you give this like restaurant out of 5? Mm. Or what was your favorite dishes? What would you recommend? Stuff like that. And I realized it was not like one or two. It was like about 10 replies per like post. So I told myself, you know what, Nasser, why reply to every single person? Just create an account, focus on food, and just do it.
Mm.
And I did it. And the first review I ever did, if I'm not mistaken, was this restaurant in London called Meat Liquor.
Okay.
So this is what I did. That was my first review. The first review in Bahrain, if I'm not mistaken, was Cafe Nilo. So that's just a bit.
So it started in London, huh?
It started in London. It was around end of March, beginning of April. And I believe that's where I came back for spring break.
Mm.
So then I also had some posts from Bahrain.
When did you start blogging?
2018, March 2018. Okay. Yeah. At that time was just a completely different mindset to where I am right now.
Mm.
Right now, actually, my first name was Nas the Foodie. That was the first account. Where I am today is Nasser Kano. So the whole direction has shifted. Although I'm still producing food content, but now we're into reels. Now we're into food ambiance and service. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different ball game right now. So
what have you noticed and what are the key changes you're bringing? I think you have implemented AI on your logistics or storage facilities, if I'm not wrong, or going to implement.
I mean, we are implementing AI in a lot of spaces, and I think a lot of companies are. And if they're not, then I think they're going against the current, which is a very, very big risk. AI has been around. However, ChatGPT 3.0, if I'm not mistaken.
4.0, right?
No. The initial 2022 December, boom, right? How they gained millions of users in like 2 days, beating Facebook, which is a very big deal. So that was introduced in December, imagine, while taking my course, and even they didn't know how to implement it. So when I was first introduced to AI, I was like anyone else. I said, you know what, question, answer, exams, pass, this and that. But that was not the case.
Mm.
I'll be very honest with you, for some of my quizzes it was open book, meaning you're allowed to use online, so I was not cheating. And I was writing the questions exactly as it is with the multiple choice and then asking AI pick. Now, Nasser Kano today would have not done that.
Mm.
Nasser Kano today would have set a prompt. So there's something called prompt engineering, right? Yeah. So setting the cap, I think setting the cap is very important, because without setting the cap, AI has no idea which brain it needs to access. So for example, I'm a student who's completing a quiz on UX UI. Right, like a file, right, on Windows. So you're accessing a certain file within the whole computer or the brain of AI. Now, after that, you provide context. So I'm taking a quiz on UX UI. The question asks regarding this, and you could say, for example, that here are the 4 choices, and then give the prompt, give the question. So what answer do you think is correct? For example, in that case. I don't recommend using it for quizzes. I use it more for any...
You're talking about ChatGPT?
Yeah, ChatGPT, exactly, yeah. So this is ChatGPT at that time compared to now, is what I'm saying. Like I would work on it completely different as to when I did back then. Back then, no one had any idea on how to prompt engineer, and I was just copy-pasting questions, asking it to answer.
Yeah, just now, answer, yeah.
For example, when I worked in spare parts, what does spare parts mean to you? Does it mean cars? Does it mean computers? It can mean a bunch of things. But how can I say spare parts without saying, oh, Nasser is working in the car industry, in this department in Bahrain, whatever, da da da, and then give the context, being in the spare parts department, we are facing issues regarding ABC. So that prompt engineering is so important in today's day. And I believe not many people know how to utilize ChatGPT for it to work for them and become their assistant. I think people just use it typically for easy stuff like emails, like captions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just the basics. But the basic without stuff, the prompt engineering, how can it give you the right or the more accurate answer? And also the other thing is with AI is it's so important to not just take the first answer. You have to, like how I was telling you, I question the other employees in our company. I'd also question AI too. Why did you mention that point? Or, okay, I don't believe that part is correct. Could you be, could you elaborate more? For example, I'd always question and down and
That's how you get the...
Exactly. That's how you get the gold at the end of the mines, right? So I think a lot of people need to have that awareness, especially in today's day, and take advantage. That way, you're not going to be swimming against the current. And people are afraid of AI. I also say people fear of the unknown. People fear what they don't know, right? I'm scared of skydiving. But have I ever skydived before? No. But I've never been through it, right? So because I don't know. Going back, same thing with AI, people fear that it's going to replace people and jobs. And I say it's not going to replace people. It's going to replace people who don't know how to use AI. It's going to replace jobs that don't know how to use AI.
Anyway, so AI is the thing which he is too passionate on this. But, you know, you have never seen this online. This is the world's local exclusive, which I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
But, okay, I like the word prompt and then you added engineering towards
Yes.
Explain the viewers, because maybe people don't know even what's a prompt. Could you explain in simpler terms for the viewers what's prompt and why did you add engineering towards it? I mean,
I added it because that's the term I've heard.
Okay. But,
just a prompt is a sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but like if you look at computers in a very simple way, input and output, right? So the prompt is the input. It's the thing you're giving ChatGPT to eat and munch out and then digest into the output. That's the way I like to think of it. So
Amazing.
Without the prompt, without the context, without the setting the cap and the whole details and the question and the challenges. By the way, there's so much I can go into.
Go in. We have all the time.
with prompt engineering, you could also ask AI to think a certain way. Like, for example, you could ask AI a question in your field of work, being within the podcast.
Yes.
And you can ask AI to think like Joe Rogan, for example.
Think like Joe Rogan.
Exactly.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So there's so many things you could do with AI that people are not aware of. And just like I said, in the simpler terms, it's just the whole burger that you're feeding it for it to munch in and digest before giving you the output.
I like that part. Think like Joe Rogan. Once I have tried, because in India we have Raj Chamani and, you know, many other Nikhil Kamath, like big yes. podcasters.
Yes. Okay.
So I have said, you know what? Give me a description that's according to them. So, you know, it would suggest.
Yeah.
But like think like Joe Rogan, think like him. That's awesome. That's awesome. Interesting. Now let's jump into the thing which you were saying.
Yes.
AI will replace jobs. I mean,
replace jobs. It replaces those that don't know how to use.
Yeah, it. You said. But anyway, it's replacing. It's somehow replacing anyway.
Yes.
You know,
everyone is going with. I believe a lot of people are. Sorry to cut you off, but everyone is going with the current of. Okay, what's the new trend? What's the next thing? Right. So AI is this new boom. Just last week, the Ghibli Studio trend as well. It's just people like to follow and, oh, what's this? And ask questions. And we love to know. We're humans. We love to know. And I feel like if you go against that, it's not going to work to your favor. You know, so yeah. Just going a bit into that detail, I think anyone can learn how to use AI at any age, at any level. It's just a matter of putting some effort into it. And practice. Like I said, I started out as a loser who did not know how to use AI back while I was doing my master's degree. And where I am today is not the same person at all. But that took practice. That took courses, lessons. I sat with my mentors. They're amazing and they helped me so much to be where I am today. And I can't thank them again enough. I can't thank them enough. Yeah. So
what are the other AI tools you're using for your business or your regular life?
I mean, there's a lot of plugins you can work with.
Like plugin like extensions for the Google Chrome.
For
like the
Google Chromes, for ChatGPT. There's a website called There's an AI for That, I believe, .com. There's an AI for That.com. That is a great tool as well to use. It's just to your likings, I would say. There's no right or wrong. And same thing with ChatGPT versus Gemini versus Copilot. There's no right or wrong. It's just what suits you best. And another thing I also recommend is not to use one AI. It's good to have
multiple AIs.
Multiple AIs, just so one, your information is not stored in one platform. I mean, it's going to be spread out, but that's better than having everything about you in one. Because nowadays you can go and tell AI, hey, everything you know about me, right? Why don't you draw that into a, why don't you turn that into a picture? And I have one, I'll share it with you as well.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it's kind of scary.
It is scary. Yeah. I was also
this
shocked.
Picture, it'll show you my, like, the food scene. It'll show you the car scene, the family business. It'll show you Bahrain. It'll show you, it just knows so much. And I'm like, I need to cut it down a bit.
Yeah, because we are feeding it. Like you said, in the prompt engineering, we are feeding it.
Exactly.
And it's taking it, you know?
Yes. There's a new feature now, at least with ChatGPT, where you can set this, you can press on a button called, it's like a temporary chat. I'm starting to use that more because I don't need it to see, I don't need it to store all my prompts and
certain topics. Things which you want to know for the time. It doesn't, you don't want it to be in the memory. So
exactly.
You can.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that's good for me because my memory, I ran out of memory
recently.
I saw
your story, so I'm mentioning this to you,
That's good. I didn't know that. I have to find that.
Yeah.
I don't know where exactly is that.
I think it's near the search. So while you're typing in, it's on the right-hand side.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's something like incognito of, you know, the Google Chromes or...
I'll show it to you. So I have it here. So it's that button over there.
Which one? The right
that
one.
Button, yeah. Oh, so you press it. Oops. You press it and there you go. Now it turns into like incognito
types. Nice. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So makes sense. Makes sense. On the food vlogging side, right?
Yes.
Food vlogging or vlogging. I don't know. How do you call this? Your food, you know, I had this question, but now this question is not valid. I've seen like your food looks very rich and good and, you know, it doesn't, I don't think so. You're promoting any oily roasted or fast food or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're not on this side of food vlogging, right?
Okay. Yes and no. Yes and no. And I'll tell you why is, again, where I am today, as I mentioned, is not the same person as where I was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And now that I feel like I've presented myself as Nasir Kanu, I do have, of course, respect for myself, respect for my family. And I think it's important that I maintain that level of respect. But at the same time, I'm not also thinking, oh, would my family like if I did an advertisement at, for example, I don't want to mention names.
Get it. Yeah, get it.
Cafeteria restaurants and stuff like that. I'm actually open to that. Mm. I'm open to it at all. It's just, I never really considered it or maybe it's not come across my path. I'm typically the person... Not that is a trend follower, but if there's a restaurant where people are talking about it and want to know like, oh, is this good? Mm. Is this not good? Then it's going to be, okay, on my list. I'm willing to check it out.
So no matter what, you don't have any kind of set cuisine. This is what I'm going to.
No, I eat everything. By the way, I love spicy. I think in a few days or next week, I'm going to check out Biryani House, which is some of the guys that
That's my next question. Don't bring it out. Okay. That's a special topic.
A special topic. So I've got to try it out. You know, I'm going to check it out.
Interesting.
And it's not something I'm going to hide on my social media. It's something I will show, but it's just, I just try to maintain that level, that sort of balance, I would say. So not to have neither or, but to have both.
So having said that, I mean, that means you are, this food vlogging is a professional journey or is it just a passionate journey? Are you doing it for free? I mean, I'm just asking you straight questions.
It's a passionate journey, I'd say. And, I never saw myself as a foodie growing up. I was actually very picky. So a fun fact about me was when I was a kid, I was very picky. The only two things I would eat were chicken nuggets and fries, and very random, but malakhiya. I love malakhiya. Yes, with sharia rice, of course, Egyptian style.
Egyptian, yeah. No, I remember. I was like, where did I hear this word? So, but again, my question is,
yes,
are you taking up promotional jobs for restaurants, or is it only pure passion?
Yes, but not all.
Okay.
So I've declined some in the past due to certain reasons. Maybe it didn't fit my profile.
Okay.
Maybe they were not able to agree to my pricings.
Okay.
Could be out of budget, could maybe not be within their budget. Fine. Fair enough at all.
Interesting.
I don't judge.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like, I do it mainly because I'm having fun. I think that's okay. The most important thing.
So you're going with the flow, and the business, it comes, welcome, right?
Exactly. I'm going with the flow. I love the whole like scene of meeting people, of trying something new, reaching to other people where someone will
come.
I've seen you online. I love that, by the way.
I want
more people to say that, because that gives me the drive. The other day,
inshallah,
someone met me and was like, I'm a huge fan. And it really touched me in a nice place. And I'm like, this was... Like it touched my heart, and it made me feel very, very proud. And I'm like, I did this. I brought myself here, and I need to keep going. I can't stop because I made someone's day, and he made my day.
True.
Right. So I have to keep going.
Yeah, it definitely helps to, you know, get you on, like in between of my social media journey. Every time I would be recording, I would be posting. After the recording, I'll be missing my business calls. Mm. Like business calls. These are important calls.
Of course.
I'll be like questioning myself. What am I doing with myself? Where am I going with this?
Yeah.
I've questioned myself multiple times.
Wow.
Anytime I have that doubt, the next hour or after a few hours, I would get a DM. By the way, this video really helped me. I was completely destroyed.
Inshallah.
Da, 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 da. You know, yeah. And then they'll be asking questions and I would be replying them. I'm like, you know, you have chosen a journey, and people, even if one is getting benefited, it's not about views anymore. Even if that one gets benefited, your job is done.
Exactly.
So I'm like, you know what? You need to continue.
100%.
So followers, definitely, when they DM, when they engage, when they comment, when they like, man, this boosts up, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about money, or it's not about any returns which we are expecting other than this.
Yeah, exactly.
When money comes, it's nice, but you know.
Yeah. I learned a lot throughout this journey, and the beauty of it is that I'm able to also help others, other food bloggers, as much as I can. Again,
mashallah,
all doing this together. Same thing for restaurants. Some restaurants might take things the wrong way. Some restaurants might feel like, oh, he's just trying to be rude for the sake of being rude. No, I'm trying to be critical because I'm trying to save your business. Now, in a very respectful...
Critical online?
Online, right? So, like I said, this goes back to the honesty that I was mentioning earlier, mm-hmm. the authenticity. I don't like to say everything is good, because reality is not everything is good.
Everything is not good.
But also, not everything's bad, right?
Yeah.
It's good to have that mixture, right? And of course, it's very important that if there is something that needs improvement, how can I improve? Not, oh, this is not good. The restaurant, for example, furniture is bad, or the food smells bad. Like, explain, right? So to the restaurant owner, maybe they're not aware that, for example, the food is expired. Maybe.
Mm.
Maybe they're not aware that people are at discomfort while sitting down, because you will not get that feedback. And especially when people are asked on the spot, oh, how's everything? Oh, okay, everything's good. Yeah, I'll have the check, please. But was everything good? I want to know. When you give them that second question, then they're like, oh, okay, actually, you know, I didn't really like this, but everything was really good. Okay, thank you. Or how could I improve? It's just, I think it's so important that restaurant owners need to ask the right questions, or the staff need to ask the right questions. I can't just like ask, how's everything done? Okay, thank you, bye. Because that feedback can make it or break it for a business.
Out of 10 in Bahrain,
yeah.
How many of them takes this positive, like constructive feedback out of 10? Be honest.
I'll give you out of 100, because I don't know.
Okay, 100. Okay,
like,
that's fine.
Like 100%. Yeah. I would say who take that feedback, or who insist on wanting to...
No, like, who takes the feedback positively.
Positively.
Like, you know, oh, you know what? Thank you so much for giving this, you know... We will definitely work out, and then, you know, get back or whatever.
Yes.
Even if they didn't get back, at least they received it well. And versus someone, oh yeah, but you know, he would justify. Rebuttal. He would justify. Yeah. No, this is how it is to be. This is the cuisine. Da 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 da. You know.
Okay.
I just want to see how much of percent of people actually taken the positive feedback. You know, that's what I want.
So myself, people, like I said, similar to the business, the family business, if I present myself as Nasser, do they know me as who I am? Or do they know me because of my first and last name? Same thing for restaurants. I don't like to go and say, hi, I'm a food blogger. My name is Nasser. Da, da, da. Unless if it's needed for me to say I'm a food blogger, sure. But typically I just go in, hi, how are you?
As a normal person.
Just as exactly. This is going back to the authenticity. I will know the ins and outs, the goods and the bads by being myself.
Yeah, yeah, true.
If I come with equipment and everything and I'm like,
yeah, you'll be food, treated also, yeah, different.
Then I get treated differently. So again, same thing. It's just I don't showcase myself, and I've come across a few situations, and if they rebutted a bit, I would play the card where I'm like, oh, by the way, I am a food blogger or a food critic as well. Food critic is what I like to be known as.
I'd be like, oops.
Yeah. So it's like, it's nothing, no, not to come off as scary. And it's not like not coming in the sense that, oh, I'm going to tell all my followers about you and I'm going to give you guys an.
Yeah, not that feeling. Yeah, yeah.
Not at all. It's more like I'm a food blogger and I have that mentality. Now, I'll just give you a quick example. This Ramadan, I went to one of the hotels for their iftar menu and they booked all the seatings outside for guests that were not fasting and would come in at like maybe 7 o'clock.
Mm.
Okay. Which is fine. But me, who's coming into fast, I arrived at 5:30 and at 6:20, you're telling me that, no, this table is reserved for someone outside. Now, I had to play the card where I said, I'm a food blogger. First of all, I'm aware you guys have good reviews on social media, especially on Google Maps. You have 4.9 stars. That's amazing. So I do know you guys care. So because of that, I said, wouldn't it be better if you made people feel good rather than giving me a seat that made me feel uncomfortable? As I said, I was fasting. I'm trying to come in, have a nice iftar. Mm. And it's my first time at your restaurant. And this is my experience. You know, for those that were coming at seven, no problem. Let them come at seven.
Mm.
But like how you expect me to pay the bill at the end of the day, you should also expect me, for my trust, to say, you know what? You can actually sit outside if you like, but just be done by 6:45 if you don't mind. And it's a buffet. Food is ready.
Now, so, was that the only table? I mean, why you were wanted to sit?
It was
in that?
Fully packed outside. The seat we had was a bit awkward. It was like right next to a wall.
Okay.
And like near the exit kind of thing, or near the kitchen kind of thing. So it was one where I had to bring it up. Otherwise, if it was a normal table, fine. I couldn't care less if I'm sitting inside or outside. But you like to be sat around people. This is one thing restaurants miss as well, that you need to have an ambience where it's very welcoming for you to sit around with everyone else, people that you don't know, but just to see people coming in and out. But going back to the point where I said, it's just, you know, give me until 6:45 and then you have 15 minutes to clear the table, have it ready for the next guest. And that way you'd accommodate more guests. And then they were said, you're absolutely right. And I appreciate your feedback. Thank you so much. So to answer your question about the percentage, again, it's to what extent? Because that restaurant were very rebellious in the beginning. They were like, no, no, no. But when I explained it to them that way, and they realized, oh, you're absolutely right. It's the credibility. It's the authenticity. I think those are very important in today's day. I'm sure you heard also the news of one of the food bloggers getting a fine.
Man, you're killing all my questions. I don't have to throw this iPad out.
So first of all,
I have that question here.
That is not me. First of all, I got a lot of DMs asking if that was me. Secondly, I think like how restaurants need to be educated on certain ways, etiquette and how to care for customers, customer care, all that is so important, but also for the influencers.
Hotels are educated on these things. Restaurants are not.
Exactly.
Because hotels, at least when a feedback comes, I'm sure they're trained.
Of course.
First process and understand if it is beneficial. Okay, just go ahead. You know, something like that probably.
Yes.
Restaurants, no.
No.
Many of them are small businesses. Some of them may take it personal. So I'm talking on the restaurant side.
Yes.
Like restaurants on the street, not the hotels.
Yes.
So, and that you say 50%, like only 50% of people take the constructive criticism?
From my experience till this day, I would say it is 50%. And now when I say 50%, it does not mean that people will accept. The majority will accept, but they will not accept and implement. That's why I say 50%.
But I think 50% is a good number.
I think
I thought it was something around 20 to 30.
I would expect more than 50, Bill. I am thinking, hi, I don't want this to be 50%. I want this to be 80%. I want this to be 100%. I think it's very important that restaurants need to be, as you mentioned, hotels are educated on this, but not restaurants.
Compare this with the London.
With London, to be honest, I'd compare this with Dubai.
Compare this with Dubai, yeah.
Good. Yeah. Trust me, we are doing good, but Dubai is doing really good. Mm. Qatar is doing good. Saudi Arabia is doing good.
Mm.
Everyone, I think, in the GCC.
In the region. They're understanding the...
This is what I do. I do things what people love, which is
and food, this, right? This region,
yes,
man, we are rich with different cuisines and food. And even people come from the West just to stay to have halal food. I have a lot of my friends from UK come just Dubai, come Saudi, and then, you know, they, halal food. Oh, finally, we can get this, we can get that. I don't want to name the brands, but, you know, the brands which they couldn't eat from there, they would come and eat here, you know. So it's food rich.
It is very food rich. And I was saying that Bahrain's market, I do feel, is a bit oversaturated with restaurants for the population. There is a stat about it that I will share it with you. Anyways, going back to that, I do believe that we have a lot of restaurants, and there are a lot of restaurants that are closing down in today's time, especially with a lot of changes in the world, the scary changes, the good changes. But, you know, it's just like we need to be ready for that. And actually, what I'm doing right now, as you said, what are you doing this for? Passion, for money, this and that. It's for passion, and I'm going with the flow, where I see myself in terms of the food scenes. I love to help people and I love food. So something along the lines of maybe having my own food consultancy is in the questions. So it is.
You killed my another question as well.
Yeah,
I was trying to ask. Moving forward, are you going to have some restaurant, but not consultancy, like a business?
Yeah.
Finally, you answered.
So
you know what? Sorry. It's good. You're reading my mind.
I think it's so important as a food critic to have something along the lines of a restaurant, for example. It doesn't even have to be a restaurant. It can be a food truck. At least help myself be aware and to understand how things are working behind the scenes. As I mentioned earlier, hotels are educated on customer care. Restaurants maybe are not educated on customer care and they're going with the flow. But it's also important for us as influencers and as food bloggers and content creators to keep that in mind and to work to help and improve. It's not, you paid me, I'm going to come and say everything is good.
Mm.
My reviews, even for paid partnerships, I come in with the authenticity.
That's amazing.
Now, am I going to come and say this was bad? No, but at least to the point where it's not that everything is good. Like some things I would maybe have some comments. But yes, if it's a paid partnership, it's at the end of the day, the business needs to do well. So I need to first evaluate myself. Nasser, you just went to this restaurant and you gave and you tried their food and they paid you, etc. Is this something you're proud of posting? Alhamdulillah, till this day, I've not come across a restaurant where I've had a very bad experience as a paid partnership. If that was the case, I would go to them and say, I'm sorry, here's your money back. I cannot post this.
Oh, you did that?
I know. I've not done that.
You have not done that.
I've not done that, but that is something I would do because it goes against my guidelines of being an authentic food blogger. People ask me, some ask, why don't you buy followers? Why don't you get your name?
It doesn't make sense.
No, listen, I'm not here for that. I'm here just for being authentic.
You could have done that in 2018. Why to do it now?
But I do believe influencers should be educated and I give constructive criticism. I think that's so important because once you say everything is good, you've set the ceiling. You can't go beyond that ceiling. How can people believe you? I'll see a post from someone and be like, oh, okay, this guy said something good. And then I skip it. But I would rather have you watch my video and understand what I liked and what I didn't like and how can they do better. And for them, it's also important for the restaurant to become better. I've had a few, let's call it kitchen nightmare episodes in Bahrain.
Wow.
Where the owner or the chef or they would be delusional. I tried to help. This is not like paid partnership. This is not review from my end. It could just be verbally. It could just be maybe on like I did a post and then we talked it out. But I've had a few where like it's like I can't. I'm trying to help you. I'm really trying to help you. Mm. And if you're in La La Land right now and you're telling me no, people love it. This is the best thing and that. I'm sorry. I can't help you. Like I don't know. Is it me that I give up too easily? But again, if it's a job, it's a job, you know? So I try to help people because a lot of restaurants are closing down and scary.
Yeah.
It's actually scary. you'll see something and you take it for granted. You're like, oh, okay, this restaurant's around, but no need. I don't need to go there again.
I think the ego plays the role. Huh?
Ego plays a role, but not always. Not always. I think also sometimes it's to do with
the olden methods.
The silence is the best killer.
Mm.
People are silent. They don't give proper feedback. It's the best killer.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, they get disappointed and they're like, yeah, you know what? Just give me the bill and let me leave. Right?
Yeah.
But okay. What's the most weirdest or awkward promotional request you have ever got without naming anyone?
I will tell you one that's recent. The request that I got, and actually my Instagram handle is Nasir Kano, but maybe about 3 weeks ago, I just changed my Instagram, my TikTok handle from Nasworld to Nasir Kano.
Okay.
The reason being was I was approached by a car product company.
Oh, that's Nasworld?
That was on Nasworld, and they wanted to reach out for an advertisement. They liked my stuff.
Mm.
I didn't know how to tell them, listen, I don't think we can do this.
You can do that.
What did I do? I changed my name to Nasir Kano.
Now you're like,
I changed it to Nasir Kano.
Read the ID, bro.
And then I was like, hey, sorry for getting back to you so late. I don't think I can do it.
Interesting.
Straight away, got it. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. No worries. I'm like, conflict of interest, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So that was not any restaurants you could remember of.
Weird requests?
Yeah. Like,
so to answer your question, I don't think there's anything weird about food restaurants reaching out and asking for a paid promotion, to my knowledge. But if I've been asked regarding like a coffee shop that solely wants me to review their coffee, I'll be very honest, I'm not a big coffee person. I'm more of a matcha person or a karak person or hot chocolate.
But what if someone gives you double the money?
How can I give feedback? It's not my forte.
I'm not
a coffee head, so it's like it's gonna be very tough, you know. I've not been approached in that sense, or if I have been, I will lean more towards their other products because you're approaching me for me, right? So I cannot showcase maybe your best products, but if you're calling me for me, I'm gonna showcase to you my favorites or maybe some of the popular dishes or the recommendations. So, yeah,
it looks like also like we talked about the. Who takes the constructive criticism, right?
Yes.
I mean, I've seen like recently we heard a news, I mean, which we talked about right now.
Yes.
The 1,000 BD fine for a food blogger to give a bad review or something.
Yes, correct.
So do you think it's going to be tough moving forward for you to review? Because you said you're an honest reviewer.
Yes, yeah.
So that comes up with a cost. Like you need to be very careful with your words, I think.
Of course, it's very important to be careful with what I say and how I say things. However, I don't think this is going to be any harder for me from what I'm already doing right now. I take every review seriously. And at the end of the day, it's to inform others and also help improve or educate the restaurant itself. Because you never know, whatever I might say, people might write in the comments, oh yeah, that's a very valid point. Mm-hmm. And then once you see that there are people that are backing you up, how can the restaurant look at it and be like, no, that's just one guy? You have to take your feedback.
So if there's anything off of the restaurant, you basically go online and say it, or you consult that with the restaurant, or you do both?
So a bit of both. But to go back to the point on, like in this case with the influencer, I think people talk about freedom of speech. I don't think this has much to do with freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. I think this is more about being respectful and just having that awareness of what you're saying and how is it being portrayed by others. Now, if I go and say, this sucks and I am never coming back here and again, and this was the worst experience, and then how is that helping the business?
It doesn't.
How doesn't, right? It's just you're talking negative, and people like to talk negative. We as humans, we like to hear negative things. We like to spread negative things.
Your reach would be so up high if you talk negative.
This is what happened, right? Mm. 25,000 views on an account. I don't know, didn't mention Instagram, TikTok, but it said personal account or something. I'm not too sure. But anyways, just the fact that it reached 25,000 views is a lot. And it's just a matter of like, how did that help the restaurant? Was it a paid advertisement? We don't know. I don't think, you know, right? And if
you're talking about this particular case,
right? So if it was a negative, if it was a paid partnership and this person said a bunch of negative things. Now I'm going to blame both parties, because from one party's end, let's say from the restaurant's end, there should be some formality where contract. They should ask a contract, just terms of agreements, some terms and conditions. Not the boring stuff, but just make it fun. I have one myself.
Yeah.
I made it into very big like squares, and they're just different topics. Mm. One is content royalty. One is 1 month and out, which means if I post something and you want to promote it because it's a paid partnership, but you have up to 1 month to promote it. Damn. And if you want to redo it.
I'm getting ideas. Yeah, good.
I'm giving you ideas. Sit with me and I'm just going to give you a bunch of ideas. That's how I am.
No, it makes sense because, you know, being with a big business family, I'm sure you have legal departments and things like that. And you have, you know, you're listening everything, right?
I've asked my friends, actually. This was asking my friends who have law backgrounds. And I said, listen, this is what I have. What do you think? And actually, a lot of them said, Nasir, go into as much detail as possible, because the more details, the better for your case.
Interesting.
So I learned that through them. And I made sure that everything I have is like, okay, this is good to go. Because that case, 1 month and out, is important. I witnessed some food reviews going out. Imagine 2 years.
Whoa.
After,
I mean, after 1 month, probably even if the menu changed, the place changed, or you never know, the staff changes,
right?
Yeah,
it can go bad. The restaurant could go bad.
It could stay on the profile.
They can post your stuff more and more, and like, it's like, but now you're saying that the food is good, but this was 2 years ago. We're talking about, how's it today? So that's so important.
You have to think a lot
exactly
on this.
Another thing I always ask is to check my work, and I would send you from the restaurant's end, they should say, Nasir, send me the video before you post. Mm. Write up the caption or mention this, this, and this, but say whatever you want, but mention these points. Follow this account, give this hashtag, etc. And then I will just make sure it's all good to go. I show it to them. Hey, all good? Okay, post it up. So for me, that's so important. And the last thing is also, as a restaurant or as a food blogger, I need the paid partnership label on the top. Again, this goes back to my authenticity. If you see me, I'm not saying all my reviews are talking about good stuff, but if I'm saying, oh, guys, check out this restaurant, da, 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 it sounds like an ad, but they need to know it. If they don't see it, then that credibility is gone, because now you're like, oh, how do I know this is an ad or not? You need to know. As a consumer, you need to know this is an ad.
So you're doing that. Like, if it's paid, you rightly paid. Somehow you link it with the restaurant and all that.
Yes, that's the responsibility of the restaurant. They need to accept it. They need to accept the request. That's very important.
To not make it sound like as if you're giving an honest review.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's
because for me, it's just so important. Again,
that shows the responsibility and your consciousness. It's amazing.
It's going back into being an honest food blogger. And like I said earlier, it's just me doing these things, having the terms and conditions and the paid partnership labels and checking with the restaurants and vice versa. They check my content out. They're happy, good to go. Any comments, this and that. This is what allows, for me at least, my journey into posting for them, the advertisement, the partnership, to run as smooth as possible. That's so important. Otherwise, you're going to get a court case. You're going to get lawyers and
Take precautions before.
Exactly. And like I said, I'm like,
so right now,
I'm an open book, you know.
So much thoughts into mashallah, and you are 24 years old?
I'm 26.
26 years old.
A lot of people mistaken me for being younger, like you just did. Some people think I'm 20. I don't know why. I'll take it. Thank you.
No, I've seen, I don't know, somewhere 24 years old, probably, I don't know when, birthday cake or something like this. I don't know. Or you try to cheat us with your age. That's amazing. So you also mentioned that the businesses are closing down.
Yes.
That's not only for restaurants, though. That's also for general other shops.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, even in the main markets. It's not only Bahrain. I've seen also in Saudi as well.
Yes.
Like, you know, I grew up in Riyadh.
Yeah.
The olden shops, olden style, the olden way of doing businesses are moving out.
Mm-hmm.
New names, new brands are coming. And I'm not saying the new brands are staying.
Yeah.
There are also instances where new brands come within one. It's okay. within 1 or 2 years, they vanish.
Yeah,
this happens a lot in these times. I've never seen, like, I don't know if it's like pre 2008 or pre COVID. I don't know, but now we see it too often. Why do you think it is? In a general sense, is it because they are not accepting technology, or is it because the economy is bad? What one should do if being in a business family, I don't know if I'm asking too harsh or too general of a question.
No, not at all. So family business is one thing and the food scene is another thing. I can answer the same question in both ways if you'd like. I can start off with the family business. So right now, as I mentioned, things like AI is so crucial for not just for the business, for yourselves, for you as an employee. We do train our employees. We do train our managers in regards to AI and how to use AI for the right way. Again, not just for you to be productive at work, but for you to improve your lifestyle, improve your families for the better, for you to live better, right? This is going with the trend.
You're kind of 10x faster with the AI.
Possibly, yes, if you're using it.
And efficient.
Yes, exactly. Now, as you know, in the car business, the boom in the Chinese market with EVs, BYD, with Jetour, with all these manufacturers and car companies are just like spreading across the whole market in Bahrain. Like, I'm not sure the stats. I wish I have the stats.
This is what I wanted.
I wish I had the stats. I think there's like, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's 25% market share in Bahrain or
Chinese cars.
I think something along those lines. I might be
mistaken. And this is within 5 years timeline, right? Past five years?
This year, at least.
Post-COVID?
You could say post-COVID. Post-COVID, that's when production went up. Semiconductor chips went down. But again, there's just so many factors playing in to give the price factor.
Many Chinese brands, half of them, we don't know even the names of.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
There's every single day, a new one every single day.
Like I've seen also, I've gone to the other showrooms where I have purchased my car, and they would also say, like, before we used, as one salesman, I used to sell 5 and 7 cars per day, per month.
Mm.
Now I'm selling one car and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Like the normal general brands, like American, European, whatever.
Yes.
So have you faced that in Toyota versus Chinese, or Toyota still has good market?
Alhamdulillah, in Bahrain, Toyota has a good market. I believe the Japanese cars in Bahrain are...
Because even the resale value is amazing.
Yeah, resale...
People basically in Bahrain, they say, if you want spare part, go to even Barrada, you will get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that reliable.
Yes. Yeah.
But is it still? But I'm sure the numbers have come down, right?
You know, it's like... When you're on land, let's say, and you're witnessing a tsunami that's taking place miles and miles and miles ahead, you're aware that something is coming, but you're sitting and you're like, I'm fine now. I'm okay where I am. I think that's where a lot of the car companies are at right now compared to Chinese. I think Japanese, Korean, American, European, they're all starting to feel it now. Mm. This is the last 20 years, I would say, at least, you know, since I was born, I could easily say that the Japanese market in Bahrain has been very strong. But now recently, it's like things are starting to change because Bahrain is a price determined market. So meaning that Bahrain, Bahrainis or even non-Bahrainis will pick price over maybe luxury or convenience or da 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 da. So the price factor plays. Oh, why would I spend 20,000 or maybe 10,000 when I can spend half of that?
And it looks even better and it feels even better.
Exactly. So a lot of the other car companies are starting to are like this. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
They're starting to feel it. And that's why you're seeing a lot of changes. Before, like a Land Cruiser, for example, would be happy with the way it is, right? The way it's built, the functionalities. Now, you're going to see some changes. Now, there are
many features nowadays in the Land Cruiser and the Toyota. Like,
look at this new Nissan Patrol, for example. That's just a lot.
Yeah, it's so much. Yeah, it looks beautiful.
So a lot of these car companies are starting to pick up the pace because, like, you can't rely on just...
I think in Jetour, I've seen in Qatar with Qatar or UAE with someone. And when he got in the desert, like, it was even showing a small stone beneath the car or something like that in the 3D.
Okay.
Like that technology is
I'm not
insane.
That. Oh, okay.
Like I was shocked when I saw that feature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, mashallah. No, a lot of things are changing. And like I said, there are scary changes, there are good changes, right? As we know recently, the tariffs, for example, that's another factor that's going to, you know,
markets. Yeah, it's shaking everything, yeah.
So, just a lot of changes. That's for the car business, right? Now for the food scene, a lot of changes.
No, I will not let you jump this.
No,
let me still get there. Okay. I still have two more, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure.
So now people are going to Chinese. You're saying people are preferring price over whatever it is.
Yeah. So I believe price is one of the main.
What about
factors.
The safety factor? Like, is Chinese car like are Chinese cars getting up there with the safety, or is it very poor in terms of the other brands?
Absolutely. We've sent some influencers and some of our teammates to China to witness the safety of a cherry. So they are definitely stepping up their game. Now, if I were to tell you cherry 20 years ago, around 2008, they are not the same right now. That back then, you were ready to sell your car maybe after a short period of time. Now, it's like you're proud. A lot of people own cherries.
Really?
People own a lot of brands, Chinese brands. It's just now it's changed and they're improving. So, you know, like, what do you call it? Like the... No, like running a race, right? Running a marathon. You could be the guy that's sprinting first. So it's like running a race. You could be the first person to sprint and you're running and running and running. And as you realize the person who's in second place is way behind you, what do? You start to slow down. You're like, I'm way ahead. I'm going to start slowing down. I'm going to take my time, right? That's how the Japanese work. And now they realized the Chinese were taking their time, right? They were second place, but now they're passing and going ahead because at the rate they can afford that, other companies can't afford that. So it's becoming a bit scary because, you know, like we mentioned earlier, the Land Cruiser, other car models, it's like it's becoming scarier, like, or realizing, wow, I can't keep the same thing. It's like an iPhone, right? You can't keep the same iPhone every single year, the same with the minor touches. No, you have to really now step it up a notch. So
step up and also price down. Do you think price down will happen as well?
Yes. I mean, yes and no. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I believe it's public knowledge, so it should be fine. Right now, what I understand is that Toyota is moving some operations to India.
Wow.
To compete with the cost.
Interesting.
This is one of the tactics that they're doing, and I'm sure other companies are following up, because that way, how can you compete with price?
We have already Toyota factories, I think.
I believe so.
Like Innova has come from there, and what in India is very interesting, like there is a Suzuki and Toyota kind of a partnership, like... The Suzuki Vitara is also urban something.
Yes.
So they share the same model
part,
but the same with different names.
Yes.
So whoever wants Suzuki gets Suzuki. Whoever gets, I don't know what kind of partnership.
It happens a lot, and Toyota does that as well with the Subaru, for example, with the Toyota 86 and the Subaru BRZ.
One podcast just talking about vehicles. I'm getting many points, but I will not ruin this podcast with the not ruin. I mean, I don't want to take the food completely out.
Yeah,
the
last question. I should have my point for the food aspect, but
no, I'll get you there. No, don't worry. So last question on the cars, I promise. And after that, I'll not ask more. if I may, forgive me.
No.
EVs, right?
Yeah.
We know only Teslas. Yes. BYD also you mentioned.
Yes.
Are there many EVs already? Is Bahrain already having it on the road much, or is it just still like a fancy thing? And is it yet to come and things like this?
Yes, I believe more are yet to come. However, I believe this is something that needs to come from both the people as well as the government.
Mm.
I think it's important that there needs to be a strong presence of EV chargers, EV stations, and EV car companies in Bahrain. What I can tell you from our end is we sell Volvo, and we have a few models from Volvo, the C40 and the EX30.
Do you have the EV on it?
Because Volvo pledged by 2030 to go completely EV, right? This is the world statement that they provided.
Okay.
However, we are now almost five to four years away, where that's not going to happen because the world is not ready for it yet.
Really?
At least in the Middle East, I can speak on behalf of Bahrain right now and say, like, we're not ready.
I've seen UAE. UAE has changed.
Like, but that's because it comes from the government installing the chargers, providing Teslas as maybe their transportation for taxis, things like that. It needs to raise that awareness. And then having, for example, I just mentioned this today. I saw a Tesla from Dubai in like Ras Al Khaimah. Now, in Bahrain, people worry about having an EV in Bahrain, but if you're able to travel from Dubai to Ras Al Khaimah, that means
they must have
proper infrastructures and stations, and just to allow you to have that smooth,
transit
journey. Yeah, so don't have any of those issues come up. But for me, I would be scared to even drive to Dirra or to Khobar. And at the end of the day, that's not that long. That's within the
carrier generator.
Literally, you know. Oh, so, yeah.
Don't take me wrong. I'm just kidding.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm going to check something because I want to say this.
Do you think you're? Do you see yourself driving EV in future? Or you are a petrol. You love petrol cars, or I don't know, gasoline cars. What's
your EV address? Before? I don't know if I want to say this, but like I said, one of the things I don't really show on social media is what I drive. And for a very long time, I was driving.
Bro, you'll get views.
Sorry?
You'll get views.
Trust me, been there, done that, and I don't want to do that again. Yeah.
I understand. Okay.
Today's day, Ayn is, you know.
I understand. Yeah, yeah.
It's present, and that's what happened with one of my.
Also, I would like to add a thing. I mean, them, like even food, right? There are people in many countries and where they don't even see food, you know, so when we post that,
yeah,
what are we actually conveying, right? I mean, when you're over showing whatever it is, like it could be a good time with family. Maybe there are people without family.
Exactly.
You're riding a cycle. Maybe there are people without limbs.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, like you said.
Yeah, SubhanAllah. So just to go on the last points before we close, but EVs, I think, just needs to come from both. Like, people love petrol cars.
Mm.
And so I used to own a Tesla, long story short.
Nice.
And, I sold it.
So that was your Tesla, which was moving around in Bahrain.
Not that.
The blue color one or the silver, I forgot.
It was a blue color, yes.
Blue color?
Yes.
I've seen it.
Can I say something?
It's so funny.
Can I say something?
Bro.
Funny. Mm. I got sent a link from a friend. And they're like, Nasser, you were mentioned. I'm like, what? What do you mean? I clicked. It was a Reddit link. And it was asking about something regarding a battery replacement in Bahrain. Does anyone know how to replace a battery in Bahrain for the Tesla model? Da, da, da. Or do you know where to get this? I promise you, someone wrote in the comments on Reddit. I don't know, but ask Nasworld, because I've seen him in district cruising around in a Tesla. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I reached. I made it to Reddit. You know,
you can't hide things in this island, bro.
But I don't show it. You know, yeah. I never showed my Tesla on my social media. So that's something very interesting. But why I sold it was just a few reasons. Mainly is
not getting batteries.
No, is part being part of the family business, and I thought owning a non-Kano car, cut it. But that was not the case. People did not see it that way. People saw it as. Actually, they did see it that way. They saw it as a non-Kano car.
Interesting.
And to me, it was like a neutral company. It was not for any family business. I thought it was fine. I get it from Dubai. Da, da, da. But that was the case. I sold it. And then I got a car from the company, you could say. So one of our brands. So yeah, I wanted to mention to you, actually, this is very new news. So maybe you're not aware.
Okay.
But we have just acquired XPeng, which is a Chinese EV.
Wow.
Yeah.
X, what, how's it spelled?
X, the letter X, P-E-N-G.
Okay. X-Peng.
So yeah, this is going to be our first, as I mentioned, so just to, I will get into that, but this is going to be our first fully EV company.
Interesting.
Distributor. We are the first distributor.
Yeah, not just a window. Yeah.
Actually, let me phrase it right. Like this is the first EV car that we're going to be distributing as a brand, not as a model. Volvo. Had the pledge by 2030, it did not work out. They've extended it now to 2040. So they are going back to petrol, but for the time being. Again, like I said, it's something that needs to come from Bahrain's end, from the people, as well as from the government. So inshallah, I hope this will do well for us, because XPeng is a very exciting company. I've seen the stuff they've done. They've done these like helicopter cars. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're awesome. And I, like I said,
wow,
just China just doing all this amazing stuff.
Is this there anywhere in Middle East?
Yes, in the UAE and Egypt, and I believe Qatar as well.
So how are you planning on the you know, when a buyer buys, right? I mean, that you said the charging station is an issue. Are you going to sponsor them, or you find sponsors, or are you going to?
I believe the government is working on that, but I'll be very honest with you, the last forum took place last year, which is the one I attended, and I've not really seen or heard much ever since. But I know that was something like within the pipeline, but I don't know.
Interesting.
That is a very good point that
because,
you have.
Because in India?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to complete our point?
Yeah, so it is a very good point in today's day. Like, how does one manage to sell? Like I said, it has to come from both the person having that interest. Trust me when I say this, guys, when I owned the Tesla, it was the best feeling car I ever had. Driving, comfort, smoothness.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh, but I don't hear the engine in this. But trust me, once you just like, just.
I loved it, to be honest. Yeah.
You feel the acceleration, the technology itself. Having the, imagine my key was wireless. Like it was on my phone. Like I don't need to carry a car key.
Interesting.
I could witness, for example, I can have CCTV, or not CCTV, but I can have a dash cam, front, rear, left and right.
Wow.
These are the stuff within technology that you can get at an EV level, because that's, it's all about it. So I would say that XPeng is going to be the future technology car company. I don't want to look at it as a Chinese, nor do I want to look at it as an EV. I think this is going to be a technology company and it's doing really good things in China. So hopefully... I'm excited to see what they bring.
Interesting.
Yeah, thank you.
I know that I'm going too deep on this vehicle thing, but it's getting more interesting interesting. And you gave something, now I can't stop asking questions, you know? So when you had the Tesla, right? Did you have find any heating issues? Because when you're exposing the car outside in the sun, in the summer, like the batteries, do they react to the heat? Because we have seen something... just fired in Trump Tower. I don't know if someone did or it happened.
We don't see, that's not the best example. I don't want to give that as because Tesla, Elon Musk, Donald Trump, right?
It could be staged.
It could be right. But if you tell me things happening in the desert, you can tell me things happening anywhere in the world, in Bahrain, it's normal at the end of the day. I'm sure like no car that's produced is going to be perfect. That's why there's something called service. That's why there's something called maintenance. I think it's very important to understand that when you receive a car, don't have the assumption that it's going to be perfect for the next 10 years. You will have small
gets
issues.
Perfect by
it's just
time.
Usage. We are human. We're not going to notice what we run over the road. Maybe we run over a nail and then it punctures our tire and this and that.
Yeah.
These are just normal things. So when it came to owning an EV in Bahrain, my advice would be that, yes, you can take it out during the summer, but also be cautious not to just leave it in the sun. Like
have a shaded parking.
Go to a shaded parking, or even better yet, an air-conditioned parking.
Air-conditioned parking?
Yeah, of course. Like when you go to a mall, for example, like don't park outside. Avenues, for example, has an outdoor parking and indoor air-conditioned parking, right?
Well, I think they should give, at least, you know, they should start by putting some green parking area. Just for EVs, right?
I've seen it in Qatar. I don't know if I've seen it.
In India, we have a lot for EVs. Yeah. We have even green number plate for it.
Oh, mashallah. Yeah. So like the UK.
Taxes free and many things like that. This one.
That's what I'm saying. This is coming from the government's
end.
So I think within time, right now, I think it's the normal license plate. Maybe tomorrow they change it to like a E, like whatever, like a green color or something. Possibly, right? Then that brings a whole different market for EV license plates. But maybe I give an idea.
That's good. You have given me something to ask another question. So I'm still going on this vehicle thing. You know, for a car company, I'm pretty much sure, and we have heard it, like, you know, outside, as an outsider, cars, the car companies don't make money just in sales. It's the after sales on the service.
Yes, absolutely.
On these cars, I think you would lose out on service, right? I mean, wouldn't have much service because there's no oil and I don't know what other.
There is actually an oil filter, but people are not aware of it. It's not the oil filter you think for a car. It's a different kind of oil filter. But there are things like that. But again, this is like a myth, right? That EVs don't have oil filters. They do, but they're not the same. That's one of the things I want to mention. Another thing is people say, oh, for service. Again, I'm not trying to by the way.
Yeah, we just want to know.
For EVs, no. Yeah. But like, this is for all manufacturers. EV cars, yes, have fewer parts. However, they're more complicated parts. You're talking about computer chips. You're talking about wiring. You're talking about so many complications. There's actually, if I'm not mistaken, there are more parts to an EV than a petrol or an ICE car. It's just not the parts you're thinking of. That's the whole mentality. So it will bring in service. They will bring maintenance.
So there is a winning fact also. Like now, as you told me about the EV things, that the special spare parts.
Yes.
Now they can't go anywhere else to take the spare part. I mean, they have to go through you, right?
For a few reasons. They would have to come to the service provider. One of the reasons is that I feel like a lot of the mechanics that we have from today's day are more educated on the ICE vehicles. But we, for example, have...
What is ICE vehicles?
So just like petrol or diesel. Okay. So combustion engines, basically cars with combustion engines. So, but when it comes to an EV, we also provide training and we have specialists in EV, let's say, car servicing. So there are EV mechanics. And I think that is something that's going to grow within time and people are going to become more educated.
So you'll need to hire that high skill.
Of course. Not hire. We've trained. Yeah.
You send them to the other countries to get trained? Let's say to expat factories?
I know one of our trainers worked in Dubai and then came back to Bahrain, if I'm not mistaken, and is now specialized in EV training.
EVs.
Yeah, but it is something within training, I think, because you cannot find a mechanic who knows how to work around an EV. I think that's very rare to find. It's like a hidden gem. But to find someone who's dedicated and has the will to say, you know what, I'm going to shift my focus to taking care of an EV, then that's a different situation. And that's what's most likely going to happen, is to give that awareness and to help others learn.
Now you have time to finish your point on the food.
On the food, yeah. So your question, just going to sum up that last question you mentioned, was like restaurants closing down.
Yeah.
And what is it for Bahrain? Is it a good thing? Is it a scary thing? What's going on? Why is it happening? A lot of factors, I would say. One is external factors, you could say, is that for us, I feel, or I believe that Bahrain accepts a lot of tourism, right?
Yeah.
So visitors from our neighboring countries love to come to Bahrain on the weekends to enjoy nice restaurants and shopping malls and all that. Now, they like to go to restaurants that have a familiar name. So for a name, for example, that's coming from the UK, maybe a franchise of some sort, would be more attractive than a local restaurant with a name that they might never have heard of.
Damn.
This is one of the factors that is potentially killing restaurants. Another factor is, like I said earlier, it's the silence is the best killer. Is that where restaurant is operating and the staff is there and they're being there at their best and the food is good. But again, this is all from their point of view, because no one has really said that, oh, you know what? I don't think this should be on the menu. Or maybe the restaurant did not look at their number of sales and saw that, okay, maybe this item was the least ordered. Maybe let's replace that with something else. There's just so many factors, I feel. Again, being a restaurant owner, I think it's so important to have that awareness that, okay, this is working, let's keep it. This is not working, let's try something else.
Yeah.
Change is always good. I give credit to restaurants that change up their menu maybe at least twice a year. So have a summer fall menu and a winter spring menu, for example. Or the other way around, spring, summer,
you know, and fall. If after getting all this information from you, right? Like the knowledge which you have.
Yes.
Now, if I were a restaurant owner,
yeah,
I would gather up all the food bloggers.
Yes.
Try that, try this. What do you think is best? You know, I would pick your brain. I mean, for a restaurant owner to, rather than you explaining them and you pushing them, I think they need to pick your brain maximum as possible
100%.
To get what we can do best, which others are doing or which others are not doing, right?
I will give you some tips, because not many restaurants are you doing this. And I know that one of the biggest restaurant groups in Bahrain is implementing the system where 1 month before opening the restaurant, I don't know if this is a secret. I'm sorry if it's a secret, but this is something people know. So if it is a secret, I do apologize. But they would open their restaurant 1 month before, but only to invite friends and family and high-end clients. Now, if you're going to invite a food blogger, that's fine. But the whole idea is not for you to come and take pictures and social media and this and that. The whole point is to taste and provide feedback.
Wow.
Try it out.
Is this a local restaurant? I mean, is this something which happened or you're...
It's I'm saying one of the biggest restaurant groups in Bahrain. I don't want to mention the name since...
No, I know restaurant group in Bahrain of the Middle East or is it...
In Bahrain.
The local grown.
Yes, local grown, have multiple restaurants and they invite friends and family and high-end clients to come try out their food.
Don't guess in the comments.
So if you made it this far, we know that you are watching this. So I appreciate that. And so that just to give some feedback. And from that feedback, whether it's food, whether it's ambience, whether it's service, take it for the next day. Take it for the next day and repeat and repeat and repeat.
Damn, they did that.
I went to this one restaurant of theirs and tried their food out. I said, you know, the burger's actually good, but however, I don't like how the bun is split into half like this.
Mm.
Because right now you're seeing it from the outside, which doesn't look that astonishing or doesn't look that aesthetic. I said, what if you just bend the rules and do it like that? What if you bend the rules and do it like that?
Like show the inner but outside?
Show the inner, show the outer, and a bit of both as well. So like, okay. It's like this. So like that. And they did that.
They did that.
I don't know if they did that specifically, but they also went outside the box and they bent down the bun just because. Just thinking outside the box, which I love so much.
Yeah.
I love that direction. Maybe, possibly, my comment gave them that awareness that presentation means has to mean something. And they were like, you know what? I'm not going to make a perfect burger. It's going to look imperfect, but it catches people's attention.
Damn. Small things.
Small things. Huh? Just telling you today, I was listening to a podcast, The Diary of a CEO, with Mr. Beast. And Mr. Beast, how he makes his videos go viral is what I'm going to call the purple cow theory. Now, the purple cow theory is if you're driving on the road, let's say like... Right? You see the regular cow, you're not going to think twice about it. Okay. And you just keep driving. But if you see a purple cow, you actually stop. You're like, wait, is that a purple cow?
Yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah.
Where did that come from, right? You need to do something that's different. You need to do something that stands out.
Damn.
That catches people's attention. And that's how I felt when I went second time and they did that.
Wow.
It caught my attention.
Especially at the time and day of social media, right? Mm-hmm. You have only 3 seconds to grab people's attention.
Exactly.
So you're saying even in restaurant, that's
relevant. You have to catch the audience's attention. You know, I think that's so important. Is to stand out from the crowd and not just do what, like not to be a people pleaser or not to do something because it's done the way it is. No, like sometimes break the rules. It's good for in terms of, you know, creating a nice menu and providing nice meals. But going back into my point, so when you provide the feedback and they get better and better, not only are they getting better, they're reducing the number of mistakes. If you've seen one of my reviews, I'm going to mention the name, but one of the reviews I mentioned was I went to this restaurant 6 days in to their opening and the staff were really good. Don't get me wrong. I love the staff and they were very friendly, but they made so many mistakes.
Okay.
Made so many mistakes. It was simple mistakes, not knowing which table number is for what order and this and that.
But that happens in initial days of
restaurants. It happens in any restaurant, but I can just tell you from that, I can tell this was the first time I went on their sixth day and this was probably their sixth day working, possibly, I'm telling you.
Mm.
But when you look at a restaurant, like as I mentioned, where they're inviting high-end clients and friends and family to come, there's the expectation, fine, make mistakes, but at least it's behind closed doors, at least no social media. They don't say you're not allowed to post. They say we prefer if you don't post as we are in work in progress.
That's amazing.
That's the whole mentality I want a lot of restaurants.
This is a very nice model, especially this, you know, a very delicate model, which is restaurant. You know, it's very hard to maintain and have that name for years and years, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just maintaining that strong presence. Once you open their doors, like imagine 1 month doing all that. After that, they open their doors. Everyone's like, they're flawless. They're packed. It's good. What's going on? Like, you don't see much of that, or maybe you do, but when I see the behind the scenes and how it's taking time, of course, we're human. We're not perfect. So just the amount of time that it takes, you need to be aware, like, okay, you need to get it up. You need to get it right. And of course, you're going to make mistakes.
I'm going to correct my intro about Nasser. He's no more, you know, food vlogger. He's a food consultant.
Yeah.
Guys, restaurants, man.
Answers.
If you have him and if you're just using him for video, you're missing out. Yeah. Pick his brain, subhanAllah. Shit. Or just watch this podcast. Then you will know.
I have a friend, I'm going to shout out to Hissa. She said that she's like, I'm not a food restaurant owner. Curious diner. She said, I'm a food connoisseur because at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing in your life, you love food. Actually, I want to take that inspiration and say that I am one myself as well.
Inshallah.
Just because I don't know, today I'm a food blogger, tomorrow maybe I'm a restaurant owner, tomorrow I'm a food consultant. It's just the idea is that I love to help people and I love food. So anything I can do to just combine the two, it just makes it all the better.
So yeah. Every day you need to make, you know, you have two brains, right? One for food and one for cars, right? It's not even like together, right?
Creativity size, yes.
So you need to like switch on something and switch off something, right? Yeah. But you mixed two in one of the videos.
Yeah.
In the recent Prado with the pizza.
The collab.
Which I love, actually.
I
love that pizza. I have went there. I've gone there and I have ordered exactly the things which you said the best. I said, give that this. It was easy for me to order.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, I don't know. I don't understand most of the new menus, right?
Yeah.
They can call whatever names and it's very difficult.
Yes.
I said, give me that. It was all good.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
Oh man, it was very nice.
That video, just funny, like fun fact, you could say, I was leasing the car for a month and that was the last day I had it. And I agreed with a friend. I said, we need to film it, just, you know, showcase on social media. Mm. It's the talk of the town right now. Just, you know, just to have something.
It was a Prado, right?
It was the two of the Prado. Land Cruiser Prado. Yes, exactly. So he was like, you know what? Why don't we just go to Empire Pizza and film it there? I said, you know what? That's a great idea. And then while we were there, we're like, hey, do you guys want to like make this like a collab thing? Like, it's not a collab, like officially with Toyota, but it's just the collab that I brought.
Just a friendly like, collab.
Car and a restaurant together. And you can do, anyone can do that, right? So
did that do well?
It did do well. Yes,
yeah, mashallah.
It did do well.
It's a strange concept. I mean,
and it was very spontaneous, last second. Like I told you, last day, we were thinking.
Sometimes these things work.
Literally.
Yeah?
Literally, yeah.
Are you ready for some rapid fire round? And yes, landed,
let's do it.
Okay. I didn't craft this, trust me. So if ChatGPT says so much mechanic-y stuff, forgive me, okay? So rapid fire means, you know, within 3 seconds.
Yes.
Okay? If he goes more than 3 seconds, you can clap. No, it's okay. We'll not make it hard for it. So favorite ride of all time?
Supra.
Wow. Three dishes you could eat forever?
Mulakhiya, spaghetti bolognese and chicken nuggets.
Yeah, this guy's good.
Same person.
Okay, but this question I wouldn't ask. I will ask in a different way. I mean, it's a bit. I don't want to defame anyone, right?
Okay.
The most underrated restaurant in Bahrain.
I would say like right now is Empire Pizza is one of them. Although they're very popular, I would like that's the first one that came.
See, we deserve at least one free pizza. Okay. You mentioned two times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, can I mention another one? But they closed down.
Please do.
It was Wabento. I think that was the hidden gem that not a lot of people knew about. And that was one of my favorite restaurants.
Are you reading my iPad?
No. Why?
Yeah, see. Wallahi. See number four.
Oh,
it's okay.
What's the number four? That's number four.
Okay. It's his number four hidden gem.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Stop reading my iPad, okay? He has some AI something plug-in. I don't know what is he doing exactly. This is like fifth time I caught him.
Yeah.
You know, when they say Musk is not a human being, and I have to doubt you. All right.
That was question four. So hidden gem.
Hidden gem. Yes. That's amazing. Biggest red flag on a food page?
Just like I said, setting that limit of being like positive. I think that's one of the biggest red flags.
Positive.
Because not about positivity, but just like everything is good.
Everything is good.
Like okay. I said, that idea, a lot of social media, like, content creators and people do it, and I'm just like, how can you stand out from the crowd? This is why I provide authenticity, because I'm standing out from the crowd.
Interesting. And an influencer trend you would never try?
Influencer trend I never try. I mean, like, just, I don't know, dancing on TikTok. But I don't know, like.
Or like Tanzilat or Takfirat, 5 riyal, 10 riyal. You know, this is what we do in the Saudi. you don't want to do that. Yeah, you don't want to oversell, right?
Yeah.
Your comfort food, no one knows about. You have mentioned, but if you have any.
Technically, when I'm in hotels, I'd say spaghetti bolognese, which is what I said in my story just yesterday. But my comfort food is mulakhiya.
Okay.
I can go into details on that, but I think it's, yeah, perfect. Self-explanatory. Yeah.
Coffee spot when you want to disappear, but you're not a coffee person. So any spot when you want to disappear from the world?
I don't know if I have one, to be honest with you. Because you also like stunned me at like coffee spot, but my coffee spot is roast, because it's always linked with snacha matcha. So I go for the snacha matcha, and then there's roast.
You mean the matcha?
Actually, I do have one. You could say it's Brulé.
Okay.
Brulé Cafe. Perfect. In Zinj.
What smell instantly makes you hungry, especially in Ramadan? Let's say.
I think this is for anyone. I think it's McDonald's fries. I think that's the strongest smell that anyone can recognize and just go like, I'm so hungry right now.
Probably they engineered it that way. Huh?
Of course, exactly. Yeah.
And there's some lessons where local restaurants need to learn from, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Probably they put some aroma, I don't know.
There was one restaurant that gave me that every time I walked in and this food smelled so good and I'm like, oh my God, but they're closed now. It was Pizzabella.
Pizzabella, I don't know.
It was in Hamela.
Really?
Yeah. That every time I entered, it smelled so
smell good. Makes a lot of sense, huh?
Smell triggers your...
Smell, and you said the way, the aesthetics like you mentioned.
Of course.
One app feature on Instagram that you think is underrated or overrated?
Me personally, actually, I do have an answer for that. It's the highlights.
Mm.
The highlights are underrated.
Yeah.
I use it to showcase different restaurants in different countries and cities to make it easier. So if you were to go to London, you can go to my London highlights and then see all the restaurants I've reviewed.
But it gets too old and it's very hard to manage.
It's very hard to manage. This is Instagram's issue. And I wish they could do it in a way where it would be easily categorizable.
They are trying to do that.
But you're right. Like, I can post up to 100 highlights on Instagram. And if you're going to go to my latest highlight and I have maybe 80 highlight stories, you're going to have to go through every single one until to get to the latest restaurant.
Yeah.
So that's the only
thing
I've noticed. But that is one that I think a lot of people should be using more, at least to gain more attraction on.
But yeah, you need to constantly update it as well, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I think this is a little bit different. Favorite local tikka shop?
I can't.
Don't say none. You don't like tikka shop?
No, I love tikka.
Okay.
I love tikka, of course. And actually, I was telling a friend just like a few days back, I'm like, you have to try tikka. For me, my comfort tikka spot is Sabar Ayub in Bidaya. So if I say Sabar Ayub, no, in Bidaya, okay. It's like the whole perception changes because their seating is outside.
Okay.
And the ambience, like I said, it's so important to have families and people and just...
The vibe is good.
The greenery, everything is just very, very good. I actually want to get into sort of, let's call it like a season or an episode. I'm giving you also some like things I'm working on.
Interesting.
But I want to like provide like, I've tried maybe all these restaurants in Bahrain that have tikka. And these are my favorites from ranking worst to best. Or these are my top five best restaurants for tikka in Bahrain. Just to like answer questions like that. Because people will see my reviews. They'll see, okay, Nasser likes this restaurant. He doesn't like this restaurant. But they don't know, does Nasser have a favorite tikka spot? Does Nasser have a favorite burger spot? People don't know that. They only know what are the good restaurants. But they don't know what are my favorites or what are my best experiences in certain restaurants in terms of like a specific dish. So, yeah.
Now, the last one.
Yes.
Your favorite Indian dish. Wait. You cannot mention biryani. You cannot mention butter chicken. Because that's like, you know, the typical thing which Arabs choose. I don't want you to choose.
I just had butter chicken a few days back.
Yeah, so that's why I don't want you to say that.
By the way.
Mashallah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're putting me on the spot right now, but my God, I don't know. I love daal. I don't.
Dal, yeah, perfect. Yeah,
it's one of my favorites. I like to have it with our safi fish. So safi with dal, I think, is a nice.
Safi is Arab.
Bahraini.
Bahraini.
Our fish with dal and rice, you know. But trying to think, if not the ones you mentioned, did you say tikka?
No, no.
Biryani, and you said
biryani and butter chicken. Tikka is basically for
chicken tikka masala.
Yeah.
So the grill.
I should have avoided that as well because that's also like.
That is my first. And then like, yeah, butter chicken. And isn't butter chicken British or no? Am I mistaken?
Well, it's North Indian.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe ancestors, you know, you never know. We have a lot of people who came from Persia and Arab, even, you know, many Arabs inside. So
of course.
It could be.
Paella, for example.
Paella.
Paella, there's a Spanish cuisine. It's a Spanish dish, which is a huge like plate. With like mixed seafood and rice and that and all that.
The story, paella is basically brought with the what's that called, man? The legs, the mutton legs.
No. It's typically seafood because it came from Spain, but it was originated, if I'm not mistaken, by the Arabs because the story goes that like it was like one of the kings had like a bunch of food. It was like seafood and rice and this and that. And like, you know, like when the king like finishes and dines, he would pass it on to like the, you know, the staff in the house or whatever. This is like the olden times, I'm saying. and you just wrap it and give it away and be like, okay, they'll consume it as it is. So the word paella comes from the Arabic word baqaya, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Which it translates to like leftovers. So the origin is leftovers, but in today's day, it's just a plate with like rice and seafood and sauces and stuff like that. So it's just interesting how, like, we're mentioning butter chicken, but this is how my mind was like, oh, that it used to be one thing and now is another thing.
Yeah, it like we did a reel together with one of my friend called Jamal. I don't know if you have seen.
Okay.
Like how, reel or podcast it is.
Okay.
Like how shawarma turned into tacos in Mexico. Like
burritos. Burritos. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're absolutely right. I think it's to do with the Lebanese, or there was some.
Yeah. Lebanese. What? Sorry. Yeah. Something like this. Yeah.
The Saj bread versus.
It's amazing how foods evolve. Yeah. That could be the next episode if you want. Yeah. If you comment down, if the engagement is good, we bring Nasser for round two, right?
Inshallah.
Thank you so much for coming here.
Thank you for having me.
It was amazing.
I really appreciate
it. I don't know how many hours did we talk, but yes, you guys are going to see. Do you want to give a last, any last message?
I mean, just do you at the end of the day, and I think everything will work out. And if you guys have any questions, as I said, I'm an open book, so... Yeah.
Yeah. Comment down, and then Nasser will come and comment on my YouTube channel.
Yes.
I don't know. But thank you so much for watching. And if you didn't subscribe, please subscribe, because we will have more and more amazing guests, inshallah. Signing off. Take care.
Bye-bye. Inshallah. Take care. Peace.